have a Bible, open with me this morning to one of the passages that we use regularly when our nation seems to be in trouble. And this was instructed to Solomon by God himself. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we're going to begin in verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. Let us pray. Father, we come before you today, a couple of days before July the 4th. And Lord, for many of us, our hearts are heavy today. And they've been heavy for a long time. I'm only 47, and I know that there are those in our midst that are in their 80s, 90s. They have lived through 3, 4 generations. They have seen America, our country, go through lots of different things. But Lord, the past few years, we have seen things come to pass we never dreamed. And Lord, not a week goes by that somewhere we do not hear about some madman with a gun shooting people. And Lord, we have to believe, and we know that it's the truth, that it's not the gun that's the problem. It's the sick, twisted individual that doesn't know your son Jesus Christ wielding it. Amen. That so desperately needs you. And so desperately needs to be changed. Lord, our country is full of people that do not know you. Father, we pray today that you may begin to ignite a fire in our hearts. Lord, to help us to begin to care deeply about the people of this nation. To pray, to humble ourselves, to wake up. To look beyond our own lives, into the lives of our neighbors, and into the lives of people that many times we fear. To understand that until we take personal responsibility for the things that are going on in this land, and until we humble ourselves, and until we take action in love and in humility and in care, it is not going to change until you move us to do that. Lord, help us today to hear from your word. To begin today to make changes in our lives that will have a ripple effect throughout our land. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You know, we don't worship America. Amen. Let me hear that louder. We don't worship America. Okay. Very important that we set the stage on that before we talk about July the 4th today. Because that is the criticism that many churches get when we see flags all over the church, flags all in front of the church. People drive by and they begin to think, hey, that church cares more about America than lost souls. There could be nothing further from the truth. Nothing further from the truth. We love Jesus. We love His Word. We love this nation because this nation, at one time and in the thought of our forefathers back many, many, many years ago, this was a place for a new start for them. And they thought about their life the exact same way that you think about yours. They want freedom from persecution. They want to be able to worship Jesus the way they want to. They want to be able to baptize one another the way they believe the Scripture teaches, and so forth. And there was a large group of people that came here many, many years ago that had a dream, just like you have a dream for your family as a Christian. They had a dream for their family as a Christian. So let's be real careful about condemning talking about America from the pulpit and talking about these types of things. Because America, we hope, is blessed by God, amen? Or it would not be here. It would not be here. I believe that. But we have been told a much different story through the years as the what they call revisionists have tried to make us believe that those that came here in the early years of this country were not Christians. Well, if you dig deep enough, you'll find out that that is not true. Now, some of them may have had a different idea about God. A few of them may have had a different idea about God and deism. But many of them were theists and believed in Christ and believed that God, that there was a sovereign God, ruler of the universe. That is a biblical worldview. And so today, I want to help us, and this is the first time in all of my years of pastoral ministry I've ever done a message like this. So, amen. So who knows how this is going to go? God certainly knows. Amen. The passage that we always look at is, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. These are bad things. Amen. If my people who are called by my name, that would be ancient Israel back during this time, or today it would be who? Christians, the church. Called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That promise is still real today. Still real. Obviously, this passage was not written to Americans. That's where we get into trouble, is that we try to, or maybe in the way we present it, people think, well, you're preaching that to America. This was not preached to America in the proper context of this. This was preached to Israel. True. But guess what? Guess what? The Church of Jesus Christ, we are spiritual kinsmen to who? Israel. Paul says that. He said, we are children of Abraham through Christ, that we have been grafted in Father Abraham. That's why we have that moment, Father Abraham and many sons. Remember that? Many sons have father. That's why we sing that. Because we are spiritual children to Abraham. Solomon, David's son, had just led Israel in a huge temple dedication. And this huge celebration within Israel was in honor of the dedication of the temple of the Lord and the Shekinah or Shekiniah, whichever way you want to say that, glory of God, coming to reside in the temple of God. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to read this. I want you to hear this. This incredible moment in the life of Israel that they had been waiting for so long. You remember, David wanted to build the temple, but God said no. And so Solomon got the honor of building the temple, and they had this huge celebration. As soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And when all the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, for He is good, His steadfast love endures forever. The king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. Now, just imagine this party, okay? Now, you're going to barbecue some barbecue and put some dogs on the grill and, you know, a few other fun things here in a couple days. I hope you do with your families. My family will be at camp, but me and Logan and Chloe are going to party down. Amen? We're going to party down. Chloe's ready. She's ready. But this was far beyond the celebration we have on July the 4th. Listen to what they did. King Solomon offered as a sacrifice 22,000 oxen. Who's ever seen 22,000 oxen? and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. The priests stood at their posts, the Levites also, with the instruments for music to the Lord that King David had made for giving thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Whenever David offered praises by their ministry, opposite them the priests sounded trumpets, and all Israel stood. What an incredible moment this is for Israel. And Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered the burnt offering and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar Solomon had made could not hold the burnt offering and the grain offering and the fat. So many offerings were made, it was too big for the brazen altar to hold it. At that time, Solomon held the feast for 7 days. And all Israel with him, a very great assembly from Lebo Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the 8th day they held a solemn assembly, for they had kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the fast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their homes, joyful and glad of heart, for the prosperity that the Lord had granted to David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Wow. Can you say wow? Wow. I mean, that's huge. So what the nation had longed for. Now, you listen very carefully. I'm trying to draw a parallel here, okay? And there's some scholars that I'd be in trouble with for drawing this parallel, but I don't care because I think it's there. What the nation had longed for, freedom, independence, and to be established in the promised land as a holy nation of priests, being called and defined to the world as Israel, had finally come. It was there. But after all the excitement had passed, and Solomon was in the quiet of his palace, maybe about to go to sleep or while he was sleeping, God woke him up and told him something that I'm sure made him break out in a cold sweat. So now join me in verse 18 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now he had just told him, we've read this a couple times, so I'm going to spare you reading it again. Then if you humble yourself, call by my name, self-pray, seek my face. Keep on going down where it says at the very bottom of 18, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David, your father, saying, you shall not like a man rule Israel. But with God, there's always a what? Yeah. But, right? B-U-T, but. But if you turn aside and forsake my statutes and my commandments that I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck you up from my land that I have given you, and this house that I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And at this house which was exalted, everyone passing by will be astonished. So he doesn't just stop at explaining to what's going to happen if they do it. He's even going to show them, the passerbys that come by and observe what has happened. Once they saw Israel a great nation, then they walk by and it's in ruin, and they wonder, how did this happen to them? Why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will say, because, listen to this very carefully, because they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this disaster upon them. Consequences to abandoning God. Israel had been enslaved for a long time, had they not? Egypt, 400 years, over 400 years. They're free. They're brought in. They break covenant with God. After they're established, and what happens? God destroys the northern kingdom, destroys the southern kingdom, the northern and the southern kingdom together. Freedom, my friends. To maintain freedom, you must maintain faithfulness. Amen? Amen? Faithfulness. We must be faithful. People, Israel had one job. Here's this incredible covenant. It's kind of the same job that Adam and Eve had that they broke. The same thing. Faithfulness, obedience to God's word, obedience to the covenant. And when they abandoned the covenant, when they abandoned His word and abandoned the Lord and chased after idols, the curse came upon them. Folks, you can't spin that, you can't rewrite that, you can't hide that in some systematic theology. It is inescapable. When you abandon God, you are punished. Period. Period. In the New Testament, Christians, when Christians abandon God, what happens? What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? When they lied to the Holy Spirit, God struck them dead. And when we do things in the body of Christ, God brings discipline. Well, countries are no different. When countries abandon God, they provoke God's curse. Period. That's not popular language. Put that on Facebook. You're gonna be up all night getting ding 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 ding, and you know, it's gonna be bad. But it's the truth. It is absolutely the truth. So Solomon gets this warning from God. We know that not long after this warning that Solomon's kingdom would come to an end, that the consequences that God described would come to pass. The nation would plummet into civil war after Solomon died. The northern kingdom would split from the south, and both nations would come to a disastrous end at the mercy of pagan nations. Assyria, led by Shalmaneser and later Sargon II, attacked Israel during the reign of Hoshea that would end in the destruction of Samaria in 722 BC and the deportment of the 10 tribes of the north. Years later, in 587, Judah would be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. The prophets tell us that both nations were destroyed because they broke covenant with God through idolatry and sin. And we know that Judah was sent into exile for 70 years for forsaking that many Sabbaths. Years worth of Sabbaths. What does that mean, preacher? Basically, it means they didn't go to church on Sundays. What that means, forsaking the Sabbath. The rule is still there. Honor the Sabbath. Honor God, the Lord's day, and keep it holy. Israel would be allowed to return to the land after 70 years and rebuild and reestablish, only to be destroyed again by the Romans in 70 AD. Now, that's Israel. And there's more to that story, obviously. But fast forward to the early 17th and 18th centuries, there was another group of people, many of whom were the spiritual kinsmen of the Israelites, known as Christians, the children of Abraham, come to America with dreams of a new beginning. Many are fleeing from religious persecution, seeking a place to build a life together where they can worship God freely without fear of interference from the government or state-sponsored church and monarchy. That's why they came. After several decades of colonial expansion into this new land, the meddlesome and tyrannical methods of the King of England pushes the colonies to the point of no return. So on July the 4th, 1776, Thomas Jefferson, along with dozens of other colonial leaders, drafted and signed the Declaration of Independence, a statement of the colony's desire to permanently break away from England, forming their own sovereign nation. And if you have never read the Declaration of Independence, when you leave here today, you need to go home, you need to print it out on a PDF, and you need to read it. You need to understand it. Because unless we understand these documents, unless we understand our own history, we are going to fall victim to every perversion that is taught about what they believed and what they did. Were they all perfect? Absolutely not. Were they sinful men? Absolutely so, yes. But many of them were Christians seeking a new world and a new life. Just like me and you. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. If we don't wake up and start doing things differently, everything that we love to do with our families, all of our hunting camps, all of our ball games, all of our fishing trips, all of our camping, all of our recreational things that we do, that we love to spend our time on and extra time on, all of that is going to be wiped away. You want to know why? Because our country is going to be gone. Gone. Then you're going to wonder what happened. You're going to wonder what happened. What happened to America? Well, All that time that you spent chasing after simple pleasures and you weren't studying the Word of God, and election after election came by and all these political things were happening and you just delegated everything to everybody else. I'm not worried about anything else. God will just work it all out. Well, wickedness ruled the day. America drifted from God's Word and drifted from the Lord more and more with every generation, just like Israel did, until God brought destruction upon the nation. Is it wrong to make these parallels? Absolutely not. God is God over every nation in the world. I'm going to finish this message with Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2 was written by the Jewish people to the Jewish people, but in that psalm called every ruler on earth to bow before God of the Bible. So is this out of the box? Is this wrong? You better believe it's not wrong. In fact, we need more preaching like this on a regular basis. And maybe we might see something happen. Maybe we need to get really political in the pulpit. Maybe we need to call names of wicked people in the political realm and call them out on their sin. Maybe we need to try to motivate the American Christian people to change things in this land. I think maybe we've had this thing all wrong for a long time. I think maybe this Lyndon B. Johnson, 501c3, don't get involved in politics, was straight out of the pit of hell and scared us to get involved. Because I'm going to tell you what. You read the Declaration of Independence and you read our forefathers, those men were not afraid to get involved. Those men put their life on the line for what they believed. Were they all pure in heart? I mean, are you kidding me? Are you pure in heart about everything you do? No! But they were principled. They were looking for freedom. And they put their money where their mouth is. And they dedicated their lives to it. I read this and I go through all types of different emotions. I'm not going to read it all to you, the Declaration of Independence. We don't have time for that. But I'm going to give you just a couple sentences out of this. First paragraph. You hearing me? First paragraph in the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and legal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. In other words, we're going to give you a reason why we're doing this, and we believe God is leading us to do this. And at the very end of it, just to tell you at the very end of it, they say this. They say that we therefore, this is the ending paragraph, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. From the beginning of this American experiment to the very ending of the American experiment, they understood that they would be evaluated and judged by who? God. When they approached this, they had a biblical worldview. They understood that God was watching every move that they made. And they searched their heart. And they were so convicted over it, they wrote it down into documents so there would be no doubting what they believed and why they were doing it. Because if you read it further, it says, we hold these truths. This is back up to the second paragraph. We hold, and it's not a long document. The Declaration of Independence is only about 5 paragraphs and some signatures. It's short. Short document. We hold these truths to be self-evident. You know what that means? Natural revelation. That's just another way to say natural revelation. Self-evident. Natural revelation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are, you can say them, what are they? That's right. You know that part. It's all the rest of the stuff that we don't know is where we get in trouble. We got those three words now. And my fear is that we worship those words instead of the God that gave us those words. That's my fear. I think what America has done, and I'm no different, I'm as guilty as you are. We have, the blessing has become an idol. We worship the blessing and not the blesser. We spend more time, more energy, more effort, collecting more money to try to grab the blessing than we do paying our respect to God and letting His will for our life reign. That's what we've done. That's what we all do. And if we don't change that and turn that around, I don't think our nation is going to survive. I think we're going to continue to slip into the abyss of secularism, perversion, Ben prayed it perfectly. That's where we're headed. Just like Israel, folks. I mean, so many people want to say that's an unfair... It is not an unfair comparison. I mean, if they couldn't get it right being God's people, what chance do we have? As the church, being grafted in. Maybe we appreciate it more. Hopefully we do. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. And let me finish, because we're running out of time. And then, after they write all this, and you need to go back and read these, they list, the framers of the Declaration of Independence list 27 grievances they have against the crown. 27. If you go back in history, you had the Boston Massacre. There were several things that happened where colonial blood, it began to get bloody. And when it began to get bloody, that led to the Declaration of Independence being signed and the colonies seceding from Britain. But this was huge. So why am I contrasting these two historical events, the history of the nation of Israel and the history of America? Why? Because I'm telling you, if I had a seminary professor or two in here, as soon as the service was over, they would grab me by the arm and take me to my office and ridicule me for preaching this. I'm telling you, there are some very strong opinions about that. I disagree with them, but they're there. Because, I'm contrasting these because, we need to remember as God's people the blessings that God has so mercifully bestowed upon us. God called out a people named Israel, blessed them, gave them His law, which Paul helped us to understand is also our law. God called Israel out of bondage, gave them laws in a nation. They disobeyed God, and after much patience and mercy, God saw them destroyed. Right? It's exactly what happened to them. Christ came. And again, God, through His rich mercy and love, has now grafted us in as children of Abraham, partakers of God's promises. God called our forefathers out of bondage, gave us laws and a nation. We had disobeyed God. And after much patience and mercy, guess what? We're still here. For the moment. For the moment. America still stands. For the moment. But my admonition to myself and to you today, will it be here for my children's grandchildren, if God wills that they have grandchildren? Will they be here for their children's grandchildren? Will America be here for their children's grandchildren? Will they be able to go to the same hunting camp that you grow up in and killed your first deer? Will they be able to go to that same hunting club and kill their first deer? Will the land that was given to your family, will it be passed down from generation to generation to generation as it has in the past? Because I can promise you, if we don't get it together as a nation, it's going to be gone some way, somehow, I don't know. But God's judgment will come upon us, and the things that we hold so near and dear will be stripped from us, just like it was stripped away from Israel. And if you don't think God will do it, you better wake up, because He will. He will do it. I watched my family lose everything we had because we dishonored God when I was about 19 or 20 years old. Thought my grandfather was always going to be alive. Thought money was always going to be there. And within 6 years, God brought it to ashes. And thank God He did. Because many of us turned to Him during that time. So my admonition to you, let's not just sit back and be silent. Let's make some noise. Amen? Let's make some noise. If we want this land, if we want this nation to honor God, we must do something. What? What do we do? Man, start under your own roof. Amen? Start today, right now. Prayer. Pray over your lunch. On the 4th of July, take out the Declaration of Independence and have a time when your family comes together and read it and talk about it. take many of these simple pleasures that we are in idolatry over and do away with them and start doing something that really matters for the community and matters for God, I'm as guilty as anybody. Guilty as anybody. That's why I'm comparing the two. The divine clock is ticking. The birth pangs are the end are in view. I don't think there's any question that the judgment of God is on our country. The time is now that we as God's people must hear God's word to Solomon and humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face so that He will come and heal our land. In closing, Psalm chapter 2, and this is my proof passage for everybody that wants to attack me for preaching the way I've preached today. So you can just get over it and be quiet. You got to think that way, I'm telling you. I know it seems a little ugly, but you got to think that way as a preacher. It's just the way it is. Psalm chapter 2 is a messianic psalm. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage.'" This is Jesus we're talking about now. "And the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." That's talking about the end times when Jesus comes back and establishes judgment on all the nations of the world. But the psalmist doesn't end there. He ends with a warning, pleading with all the other nations to come to God. He says, "Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. For His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him." Do you see that? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? The one that is coming with the scepter. The one that will come to judge the universe. All the framers of the Constitution will stand before Him. Everybody that wrote the Declaration of Independence will stand before Him. Every Islamic will stand before Him. Every Hindu will stand before Him. Every human being will stand before Him. And Philippians says, every tongue will say what? King of kings, lords of lords.
Amen.
Everyone.
Amen.
Everyone. Let us pray. Lord, we come here today, this Sunday before July the 4th, Father, and we want our nation to turn to You. Father, we don't worship this land. I know that sometimes we walk right up to the line with how we talk about it so much and just the way we parade the colors so much. But Lord, we don't worship this nation. We worship You and we love You. But we know the preciousness of what it is that You have given us in America. And Lord, so many of us have sacrificed so much for its preservation. And Lord, it breaks their hearts to see a nation moving away from Your word and from Your promises. And Lord, we don't want to be mean and ugly and nasty. We don't want to be that way. We want to be loving and forgiving and compassionate people. But Your word is so crystal clear about nations that do not honor and love You and follow You. So Lord, we have to speak. We have to be outspoken. We have to tell the truth. And Lord, it's going to offend people. It's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to go out and make people hate us. We're just trying to tell the truth about who You are and Your Son that You sent to die on the cross, Lord, that Your salvation may be known all over the world. Because Lord, what we're doing right now, it's not a conquest by the military, Lord. It's a conquest by Your Spirit. Lord, You have called us to go to all nations and baptize them in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord,
We are just so blessed that America has been a small part of that. Lord, we pray, we want America to continue to be a part of that. We want to continue to send out missionaries all over this world. We want to be a haven for people seeking heaven, not a haven for heretics. Lord, help us to be tried and true and pure and loving and caring and compassionate and humble, but to stand firm on the truth, Lord. Not to cower in the face of our enemies, but to stand firm on the truth of who you are and the truth of how this nation started. Father, we pray if there's anyone here today, dear God, that does not know you, that has possibly been living in this country their whole lives, that have been benefiting from all your blessings, been benefiting from the incredible crops that this land produces, that has been benefiting from the protection of one of the best law enforcement group of men and women on planet Earth, to benefit from the protection of the military that this country has, dear Lord. They've been living all this time and have never come to Christ Jesus in repentance and faith, to realize that they are a sinner and to realize that they are so incredibly blessed. Father, we pray today that that would be their day to know you, to come to repentance and faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and to become a missionary and to tell the world about who you are and what you've done. And dear Lord, one final prayer as we close today. We cry out to you for our land, Lord, for the people of our land. And we ask that everyone would humble themselves and cry out to you in prayer, and that you would come heal America, dear God. Heal the people in our land. Help us to be bold and to be true. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand for a moment of response? So much for your attention. I'm going to try not to kill you with announcements here. Remember, we have a whole group of folks leaving under the supervision of Brother Brad Wright and some of our adults to go to M4 camp, leaving tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So I would like to ask you for your prayer for them, for safe travel down to where, Brad? Walkaway Springs, right? Okay. And so there'll be a bunch of them going down there. Let's see here. Yes, sir. Okay. No music classes today. Tonight we will have our small group discipleships at 6 o'clock. And if you're a guest and you want to come to those, feel free to come. We've got four that are going on. And if you'll just show up, I'll be here a little early. If you want to show up and talk to me about it, that'd be fine. But there's room for anybody that would like to come and enjoy those discipleship classes. That would be just fine. M3 conference is coming up on Saturday, August the 26th at Plymouth Bluff. And I think that's probably all we need to say. Vacation Bible School is at our door, coming here in about 2.5-3 weeks. So be getting on that, getting your room decorated and all that fun stuff. And I want to welcome any of our guests. One more time, I want to tell you how glad we are for you to be here today. Jason Counts is here this morning with his, which one is that? Cohen, that's right, man. They both are so just adorable, I can't tell them apart, you know? So anyway, he's down here to give you a guest bag. If you're a first-time visitor, he'll have those guest bags there that have some really great stuff in it, some information about the church and a couple of gifts. And then Brother Lynn Weeks is in the back. So please grab one of those on your way out if you haven't already. Any last word before we're dismissed?
I'd like to say something. Yes.
Let's give it up for the choir. Thank you, choir, so much. They are so faithful. All right, if there's nothing further, we will be dismissed. Randy, why don't you pray the benediction?